Yes, sir, and welcome to The Road to Damascus, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. I'm your host, Brock Hendricks. And before we get this show started, I just want to tell you how you could participate with us. You could participate by reaching us via email. That's Road to Damascus. That's Road to number two, Damascus at iCloud.com. Or you can reach us on our socials. We're at Road to Damascus on Twitter, as well as TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. Give us a like, give us a follow. Tell us how much you love the show, how much you don't love the show, any topics you'd like for us to discuss. Any feedback is always appreciated. And now, on to the show. With me this beautiful, beautiful morning, it's a little seasonably warm on this Saturday morning, I have with me someone who is wise beyond their years, someone who I would call the prognosticator of prognosticators, the seer of seers, the doer of doers, save, sanctify, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, Bible thumping, will knock you out if need be, loves Jesus, whose motto is Jesus jeans and gym shoes, the one, the only, Rabbi. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody?
Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Okay, and you will knock somebody out.
If need be.
If need be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to go there.
You know, hey, he teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war, and I don't want to have to put that to use. I ain't no killer, but don't push me.
Okay, Tupac. So how are you today?
I'm doing great.
I got her amped up a little bit before the show. Ooh. Showed her some stuff. I apologize. She was like, why am I mad? And we ain't even turned the mics on.
Good, but, mad. Big
but,
mad.
But that is what we're dealing with in society as a whole. You know how we start to show off every time now, Rabbi? How has God been guiding for you?
You know what? Listen, there, man, God, you know, I've said for a couple of weeks now, it's been the revelations. In two things that God's doing right now, and one of them is I'm on a fear fast. And this, everything that I think or anything that might spark some type of fear or trepidation, I'm doing it. You know, the only way to overcome your fears is to face them head on, because you meet your destiny on the road you take to avoid it. And we had that conversation about the things I feared the most had already come upon me.
Okay.
So I'm just dealing with... If it's something that I need to say to somebody, if it sparks like some, ooh, you know, what's going to happen? Nope, saying it. If it's something that I need to do, it's like, oh, man, I don't know what happened. Doing it. And when I tell you that these few days that it has been life-changing, it hasn't been without its share of fears. But we don't have a spirit of fear. Just love, power, and sound mind. So when I feel that, I recognize that this is trying to prevent me from experiencing a level of glory that God has for me, or moving in the strength of his power that I didn't know. So let's do it and see what God's going to do. And then the second thing is 30 days of 30 minutes of prayer and reading.
Okay.
And I tell you, it has been a great couple days, to say the least. Not without its challenges, not without some frustrations, because all those things come to the surface when you decide to commit any way unto the Lord, any aspect of you. If you say, I'm committing this, I'm giving this amount of time, something comes up to try to steal all of your time. If you say, oh, I'm giving this up, I'm fasting from this, something comes along to challenge what you have said. So it hasn't been without its challenges, but it's been so rewarding that the challenges are worth it.
Amen. 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 So for me, how has God been guiding? So on Monday, you know, I do my prayer calls daily.
Right.
So on Monday, I've been reading the book of Isaiah. Okay. Anybody who knows me knows I don't always dip my toe in the Old Testament like that. But, you know, I've been reading Isaiah, just gleaning a lot from it. And when I say it's been very revelatory for me, it's been, and when I say, like, so this is my first time reading Isaiah all the way through, just nonstop.
Wow.
Like, the only Old Testament books that I have just flat out read all the way through, nonstop, are Genesis, Job, Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastics, Malachi, and Exodus. Everything else is just kind of in and out, in and out, in and out.
Okay.
Oh, and First Samuel and Second Samuel. So anyway, on Monday I was chapter 40 of Isaiah, and I was at
That's a good one, man.
I was at the end, and I had been feeling like the Lord. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the last pod, but really feel like the Lord was about to, some things was about to happen. And you don't know what's about to happen, but you know something is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And you feel it in your spirit. And so as I begin to pray, I was like, Lord, make me 1% better today than I was yesterday and 1% better tomorrow than I am today. And also saying, you know, because I always say, Lord, I thank you for the blessings of the past, the present, and the ones that are yet to come. But I was felt like saying, but Lord, make me be prepared for whatever is about to come, like an expectancy. So then I'm reading 28 of Isaiah 40. And at the end, I got to the part starting at I'm going to start at verse 28. And it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And I read that and it just hit me. So I was like, you know what? When we do our scripture today, that's going to be the scripture I use. Guess what the scripture of the day was Monday, Shonda? Literally. So this was Monday morning. I was reading this. I go into my Bible app. The scripture of the day is Isaiah 40 and 31. Then I'm on my phone on Instagram. You know how you can have these different biblical channels pop up or videos. It was a person breaking down Isaiah 40 and 31.
Wow.
So I said, all right, God, you talking to me with this scripture. Mm-hmm. So I'm thanking him in advance. But all I know is he's telling me that he's going to mount me up like wings of an eagle. And that I shall run and not be weary, and I shall walk and not be faint. So I'm trusting him for whatever next stage and next phase is coming.
I love it. I love it.
So see how he got a way of talking to us?
Yes, he does. But you know what? You know why he can talk to you like that?
Oh, before you say. Then 2 days later, my brother sends me a video, which I probably didn't send you a video. I'll show it to you after the show. It was a guy who was hunting. Did you see that video?
No.
He was hunting in the woods, and he said he saw an eagle afar off. And he said he just started praying and said, Lord, you know, sometimes I feel like you're not with me. But if you with me, I want to be able to get close to that eagle. He said, I want y'all to see something. He pans the camera over. The eagle is on his shoulder. Like, okay. Okay. Like, okay, God, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes,
but
you did, and it's okay. That's how we flow.
I'm sorry. Continue your thought. But just God is great, not just.
Yeah, I was just going to say the reason why it can come together for you like that and you can hear like that and he can string it together for you like that is because you're spending time in his. Because when you don't, you don't get those cues. You don't get those messages because you're not sensitive enough and you have no knowledge of the thought and the mind of God. So he can't speak to you. Because you won't hear it.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so, amen. That's how God has been guiding for me. So on to the show. On to the show. Rabbi.
I love these God is God in segments.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do, too. We have people start sending in to us how God be guiding for them, and we'll read them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell us how God is guiding for you.
Yeah.
And we'll read it. We'll keep your name anonymous if you want to, or we'll call you a pseudonym. Is it a pseudonym?
Yeah.
When they use a fake name. Or
right. But come on, y'all. If you send it in, you want people to know how God is guiding for you. And how about this? If you want to join, if you want to come in on this this fear fast, where you're fasting from your fears, come on in. Send us some, yay, hey, I'm in. I got some fears that I want to fast from. Do it. If you want to join us on the 30 days, spending 30 minutes just reading and praying, come on in.
There you go. Amen. Let us know. Roll to Damascus at iCloud.com or via our social medias, Instagram, Twitter, as well as Threads and TikTok. So, Rabbi.
Yes, sir.
You know I'm always on the internet.
Always.
Watching videos. And
you should be a social media platform, bro. Just you.
So but it's really, and it, when I'm on these sites, it's really just trying to gain knowledge. I like right. to watch different people's perspectives. I like to watch these debates. I watch a ton of Christian versus Muslim, Christian versus Jehovah's Witness, you know, where like the Jehovah's Witnesses be at their little stands outside and the person walk up to them and mm-hmm. they start debating. I mean, I'd be so into these videos. And I saw a video this week of a man giving his testimony. And it was like, when you listen to it, you like, this brother don't need to be out on the streets, but thank God he saved his life. But anyway, the one thing that I'm starting to wonder, notice, and I want to discuss today is, with so much content out there today, with so much information being fed, that I think now with the church content is being broken up into two segments, Shonda, and maybe you can see more, but it's people who are just trying to teach to educate, and there are people that are just trying to give information to get their followers up. Mm-hmm. And what I want to know and get your opinion, and we're going to discuss today, is what is it for? What is the end game? Or what is the practicality of what we're trying to do? Are we trying to bring souls to Christ, or are we trying to bring souls to our page? Are we trying to lift up and renew, or are we just trying to get controversial topic started? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, where are we going with this? Where are we going? I mean, because I just wonder, are we trying to build up souls or break down souls? Make you believe what I believe? Or is it what the word says? Or is it what I believe? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it should be that we teach people what's right, not who's right. Because once you get into the battle of who's right, we start tearing people down. We start tearing down the foundations that they have. We start tearing down the process. Because for me to come to Christ, it was a process. For me to get into this apostolic doctrine the way that I am, it was a process. Because I wasn't born into this like this. So it was a process that was not a straight line. It was layer upon layer that I was learning. And as I gained a layer, then there was a layer that was being taken away. But the Holy Spirit does it so seamless that it doesn't feel like education versus indoctrination.
Okay. You
know? But when we try to do that, that's exactly what we start to create, like a us versus them type thing. And we're the only organization that's right. It should never be like that. You learn what's right. And when you learn the truth, it'll reveal who's right. Like letting wheat and tare grow together. God says you can't do it. So you just teach the truth, let them grow up together, because at a certain point, a weed looks just like a flower. So if you rip it out, you could be destroying something that would be a beautiful flower that will feed or give beauty to more people. Let it grow and I'll separate. That's not what we do. You remember when when the colonizers wanted to control the indigenous people, what they did was they needed them to worship them, so they created an image of God that looked like them. It's where we get this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus from. And that's what we do when we try to lead people and get them to see who's right. We start creating images that look like us. And that is what makes people, that creates division. That's not what we're trying to do.
So we become the image bearers.
Right. We instead become of letting, the colonizers right. that we despise so much. We become what we have spoken against when we do it like that.
So how did we get into this space, you think, where it became, it did, because let's just speak on Western culture. Mm-hmm. We know about Azusa Street.
Yes.
And then from Azusa Street, and I know I don't want to get no Kojic on here. Or just listen, I'm just going to start with Azusa. I know y'all going to start Memphis, Tennessee. Listen, it's not about arguing.
Right.
It's not about who's right. We're just bringing up a point.
Yep.
So let's say Azusa Street. And then we know from Azusa Street there was separation. Then we know that doctrines begin to change where – because early on in the 18th century, you had AME, African Methodist Episcopal, was around in the 1800s, as well as regular Methodist. But I'm talking about within the Holy Spirit falling upon the U.S. You started to get, well, I'm full gospel Baptist, or I'm mm-hmm. apostolic, or I'm Pentecostal. And it became about the divinity of Christ. And we know, you know, that's a whole nother show. But how did we get to the point where it just became, we're right, they're wrong. Don't listen to them. They don't have no good points. And we going to get in our own silos and do what we do. Instead of, hey, we agree about 98% of 99%. And let's just try to educate ourselves, you know, like they did at the real reason that they were at what's the Council of Nicaea. Mm-hmm. The Council of Nicaea was not about the divinity of Christ. It was about bringing together the canons and right. things like that. It wasn't what people try to make you believe that it was about.
Right.
But they sat down and they had discussions, and these men came from all over, right. the best minds of the time, to really discuss this thing.
But it was days and months, years, actually it was about 400 years
yeah.
of drunken discussion to decide, well, what's going to go in and what's not coming in. And it wasn't like they just sat down and came into an agreement. You know, about it. Some of them died before, you know.
Right, for sure.
Before their opinions even made it in. So, yeah.
So, you fast forward to now. Mm-hmm. And we did a show before where it's over 500 denominations. And some of them are as far off as they can be, depending on who you talk to. But when I watch these videos now, Shonda, is literally, I saw a man do a 10-hour video about why women shouldn't be in ministry mm-hmm. or shouldn't be leading a church. So it's like, is it about being right or is it about what's right? How do we get here? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
In my humble opinion.
Well, it's all opinion. Right. How we get, so, but we would love your humble opinion.
This is what I think that what the church can't control, they condemn. So you have all of these organizations that started from the one at Azusa, and then they come up with something that, well, I don't like that because now you're speaking against my sin. So we're not going to do that. So we're going to split off, and we're going to go do this. And then you get in this group, and you get to something that, you know, no, I'm not going to let you control that because that's my sin. You're not going to control that. Now, we can talk about everything but this. And then there's another split because there's something out there to cover everybody's sin. There's something, there's an organization out there that will make you feel good about whatever it is you want to do or whatever it is you don't want to do, whatever you want to put in and take out. And when you can't find it, they just create another one. And you will attract a group of people whose sins are common, because we're not going to talk about this one thing.
This one particular thing.
This one particular thing, we're going to make it okay. And if you're really looking for that, you can find some scripture to help you accommodate that when you are ignorant of the word. You attract other people who are ignorant in your area.
Or the blind lead the blind.
Yep. And everybody's in the ditch. And that's what your church is. It is a ditch of blindness. But you can't see that because you're also blind.
So let's go here, because I know you brought this up a couple weeks ago at in the Block Is Hot about Carlton Pearson. So his funeral just happened. Mm-hmm. And there were discussions, and I know you probably saw some of the discussions leading up to, around, and post his funeral about being able to speak positively about the man and his contributions, mm-hmm. but also maybe some of the doctrine that we didn't agree with, and the balancing act of how that looks, like praising him for who he is and what he did, but not also not walking over some of the things that he might have said that could have been detrimental in some ways.
Okay.
So he is a perfect allegory of this discussion, because it after a while with him, it became about what was right. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of what people believe is right.
People believe is right. So we know, and if I don't know, well, just to give a backstory, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, didn't this all start from his grandfather passing away?
Yes.
And they basically told him his grandfather was going to hell. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with him his whole life. What you talk about, some bothering somebody.
Yes.
So as he got older, that always stuck with him. Then he began to preach about there being no hell. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yes.
I'm just making sure. I want to make sure.
But not that there was no hell.
That this is but hell.
There, it's not for God's people.
Which is not.
And it's not. And that was just the thing. Like, he didn't believe that. He's like, he died once for the sin. So your sins have been dealt with.
Right.
So there's no more sin problem. So God's people don't end up in hell.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, no. You know,
that's the idea of an eternal torture chamber for God's people was just unrealistic.
Yeah. But I remember it was huge controversy.
Huge.
When that, and then after that, he started to preach about inclusion
and expanded consciousness.
And then that's when
hell broke.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this one man's life and testimony, we see the struggle of trying to get an idea that we all might already, an idea that we've been taught. And it's challenging that idea. For a lot of people. But also him coming with something else that's like, whoa, even the people that might support you, like, wait. Right. Too much chip on the dip. just too much chip on the dip. Nah. You had me there. Right. But you done lost me right here.
Right.
But the people who wanted to agree with him, those voices started to get louder and louder, especially in these last couple years of his life. So the question that I'm asking is, would he be somebody that we can say, nah, look at this man's life? Because I think some people sometimes miss the boat with biblical people, Shonda, because we talk about what we're not willing to deal with in the world. And then we read the Bible, and this person who we talk so highly of did everything that we said we wouldn't accept.
Right.
Like, literally. Like, if y'all knew David now, y'all wouldn't be talking about David the way y'all talk about David.
Right.
If y'all knew Solomon, and Solomon was like that. Solomon, somebody who convened with God, who talked with God, who God visited as a child, who God bestowed all this wisdom upon. Right. This man still built temples for idols.
Right. Up until he died. But we esteem greatness upon Solomon for the wonderful things that he did, to the point that we don't discuss
at
what
all
was happening at the end of his life. We give reverence to David and his kingship and the things that he did that honored God, while not spending much time talking about the things that he did that dishonor God.
But that left a stain on his house.
You know what I mean? To the point where he couldn't build the temple, but we don't make reference to that. That's not what we make reference to. But the people that we know, and when I say the people that we know, I mean those who have lived during our time, that we have the honor of seeing them fall publicly. And I say honor because if God allows you to see someone fall publicly, you now bear the responsibility of restoration, not further condemnation, but we don't get that. So when we have had the honor to see them fall publicly, when they are restored for some strange reason, we don't allow them to heal past this moment. We remember it. And then when they pass on, we take that opportunity to remind the world of the things they did wrong. And that is my problem. And one of the things, my issue with Bishop Pearson's death is the people who agreed with him privately but disagreed strongly publicly to protect their own image in front of the people, knowing that in their heart they agreed with everything that he said. Your lie is not hidden just because you don't speak it out loud. So, you know, That's an issue for me. And God works with the space that we give him. So if you only give God a limited amount of space, then your revelation will be the size of the space that you have given him. So there will be things that you don't get to see. There will be things that you don't get to hear. There are things in the spirit realm you can't experience because the God that you serve can't transcend the space that you've given. So your conscience won't be expanded. Your imagination can't be used for massive amounts of revelation because you keep God in the tiny little small space that you can manage with your mind. Everybody's not like that. You know, there are conversations we can't have with other people because their revelation is so small that you seem crazy to them.
Absolutely. Even just to ask the question.
Right.
And
you can't question God. What do you mean?
And well, that's going somewhere else because I read. And again, we reference the Bible all the time, and I can give these examples. Jonah said to God, "Why do you want me to go? You're going to forgive him anyway." That's questioning God. Moses said to God, "If you kill them, they'll be right about you, that you brought them out here to die." Mm-hmm. That's questioning God.
Thomas, "I'm not believing nothing until I can see the nail prints in his hands." What are we going to do with Thomas? Because 98% of the world is Thomas. Some of y'all have seen it and still don't believe. Some of you right now have been in a car that flipped over 14 times. You walked away without a scratch and you still don't believe. But you got a problem with Thomas? You don't know how you survived. They told you had 2 weeks to live 15 years ago, and you still got a problem with Thomas. You still don't believe.
King Hezekiah. Isaiah told him, "You got get your affairs in order."
Yeah.
And he questioned God, "Do it got to be now?" God said, "I give you, 14?
Seven.
Was it
7 more years?
Was it 7? Something like it
he
was.
He gave him more time.
He gave him more time. At the time he was supposed to go. But he should have took him out because then the Babylonians came to visit. And that's another conversation. Y'all want to see this? Y'all want to see that? And they like, "Oh, they got everything there." But needless to say, I just feel like the discussions that happen every day on the internet, the discussions that are happening, is people will post videos, Shonda. And I'm going to use the late Dr. Michael Heiser, somebody whose videos I used to watch, because all his videos were just educational. Him expanding your mind on the word. Him talking about the counsel of God and the unseen realm and things like that. Though, to me, that's expanding the kingdom. That's answering questions. That's giving people knowledge. But me sitting here telling you why Carlton Pearson was a heretic, is that expanding the kingdom?
You are really detracting from the kingdom because you're creating more division. You are tearing down. Listen, when you, if you want to disparage Carlton Pearson, you put a stain on most people's first introduction to Azusa. So all you're doing is just creating strife and contention and division and discord within the within
What if Carlton Pearson is your Solomon? What if Carlton Pearson is your Solomon, who wrote these beautiful, beautiful words mm-hmm. of Ecclesiastes?
Right.
Who wrote these beautiful proverbs?
Because the man was one of the most intelligent people I've ever listened to. And his book, you know, if you have an issue with it, it's probably because you're not, you know. You get lost, let me say that.
Right.
You feel like a lost ball in high weeds trying to listen to him talk because of the fact that most people's spiritual intellect is limited.
Well, it's no. I'll say this, and I'm going to say this unapologetically. Most people, what they know is what they told every Sunday in church.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't have their own thought. They don't have their own understanding. They don't have their own knowledge. None of that. Like, if I was still living off the food, and I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, if I was still living off the food that my mom gave me, would that sustain me the rest of my life?
No.
And a lot of us are spiritually eating the food that our parents gave us when we were 4, 5, 6, and 7, that our grandparents gave us when we were 4, 5, 6, and 7, and we still living off that same food. I'm like, oh, you want a piece of this steak, huh? What's?
You can't bite into it. You can't bite into a piece of meat if you still sucking on a nipple after 20 years. Your teeth aren't strong enough. But it doesn't mean the steak is bad just because you can't chew it. Why is it the steak's problem? That you can't digest it, that you can't chew it.
It's not the steaks, bro.
It's not the steaks. You got a set of bad teeth. Listen, we're not leading people to God. We are leading people to us. Leading people to us looks like numbers. It looks like clicks and likes. It looks like we are well known. A lot of people know our names. We become Facebook famous. That's we're leading people to us when our opinions, you know, are appreciated and expected and asked for all the time. Well, what do you think? What do you think? Because we're so contentious against everybody else that we seem relevant and important.
And so, and now your brand becomes an opinion about everybody else instead of an opinion about God.
Right. Because leading people to God looks like fruit. We'll know you by your fruit. Leading people to God looks like fruit.
But leading God to you is like candy.
There you go.
It give you that quick rush. Mm-hmm. It seems sweet, but it ain't good for you.
And the crash is long, hard, and frequent.
But the fruit will continue to nourish you, build you up. Absolutely. Strong bones, nourishment of your body. Mm-hmm. And what do people love? Fruit, they love candy.
But ain't nothing inside the candy but more sugar. But inside that fruit is seeds. So each time you produce fruit, within that fruit is the ability to produce after its kind. You're not producing nothing from candy but bad teeth, diabetes, and a spare tire around your waist.
Absolutely.
That's it. No substance at all. Empty calories.
And that's what we want. We want no substance.
Yeah.
That's why the Pharisees were able to thrive in their time during Jesus. And that's why a lot of these pastors are able to thrive now, because they giving y'all empty calories. Mm-hmm. And you thinking, it's almost like we want to be able to diet and lose weight without the exercise and eating right. So we looking for the pill. We looking mm-hmm. for the surgery, the quick fix. Mm-hmm. I didn't see more people than that have surgeries that get the tummy tuck, to get the lap band. And guess what, Shonda, in a couple years?
They are bigger than they were before they had the first surgery, because I know a couple of people like that.
Because you didn't change what you were doing.
Right.
You just changed you.
If you don't deal with the issues that make you eat your emotions, it doesn't matter what kind of surgery you have. You're still emotionally unstable. And as soon as you're no longer eating tiny med cups of applesauce and baby food, you're going to go right back to eating. Even if it makes you sick, you will just be sick until you have stretched it to the point it doesn't make you sick anymore.
Yeah, the band eventually pops or something like that.
And then now, you all right.
And you back to your regularly scheduled program.
Back to where you were comfortable.
And that's all we want. We find our default.
Absolutely.
It's like you change the settings on the computer and they get mad. Hey, who did touch my settings? I done had these settings the way I like them. And now I got the, it's almost like you don't want nobody to drive your car. Mm-hmm. Unless you got the memory button. Because if you got the memory button in your car, you just hit the button and it go to your settings. Or back in the day, your key. You put your key in and it had a memory on your key.
And your seat.
And your seat. But if you ain't got all that.
You like Norbert.
Right.
Like you Restfusion, right? You did adjust my seat, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't want no change.
No.
We want to be able to digest what we've been getting, and that's what I'm saying, Shonda. The big thing now within the main culture is these red pill conversations. Men against women. Why men are bad, why we shouldn't go 50, the same conversations every day. Where you should go on the first date? Mm-hmm. Should we go 50-50? Men versus women. This, that, it's like, we have gotten to the point that we literally just want controversy.
Right, that's why some of y'all haven't been on no date. At all.
And y'all ain't trying to date Jesus.
You know what I mean? You want,
Go ahead, say it.
You want this high value person. And you got 50 cents in your pocket. Become the high value person.
Right.
And then you'll attract what you are. It's never about what you want. It's about who you are. So stop trying to get something without becoming something.
When God said, I've chosen a king, he told Sam, I've chosen a king for me. Go out now. First brother that Jesse's sons came in, first son that came in, he saw him. Mm-hmm. He said, that got to be.
This is why God have fail safes, because he would have anointed the first son.
Period.
But God said, no, the oil won't pour until you come across the one I chose.
Right.
You could
because it becomes about us. Because we look at everybody and be like, oh, yeah, he. Like, it's almost like movie cast. He's straight out of Central Casting.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that's it right there. That's the right one. And God said, no, that's not the one.
Nope.
It's not the one that looks like it. It's not the one that you used to. Hey, it ain't the one that you with right now. Ain't no oil on them. And you know it ain't no oil on them. And you know God told you, let him go. Let her go. No, but they fine. They smell good. You know, they look good on your arm. You are accustomed. They've made all the necessary accommodations to your narcissistic behavior. So you want to keep them because it's comfortable, but ain't no oil. They look like a king, but they're not one. She looks like a queen, but she's not one.
Because the last time y'all chose somebody who had the look, y'all chose Saul.
And I told you.
What was going to happen.
And it happened.
And everything I told you was going to happen, happened.
Yep. So y'all, no, we're not leaving. We ain't leaving.
So it ain't no more y'all choices.
No.
Because I left up to your own devices.
You'll keep choosing people like you.
And that's what we do.
Absolutely.
And the first thing is God cuts into your comfort zone.
Absolutely. And the moment we get uncomfortable.
And think about this. Jesse didn't even call David in. Because he figured whatever Samuel got going on, David don't even need to be a part of it. Because right. He didn't know that he was coming to anoint the next king.
Samuel's confidence was in himself. Jesse's confidence was in Samuel. God said, but I got it.
Right.
I got it.
And if
Jesse don't understand who he got
right.
out there in the field tending the sheep.
Right.
And Samuel knows what a king looks like with his eyes.
Right.
But I know the one who has my heart, who gonna do what I told him to do.
And that's what we need. We need to be chasing and after the ones who God tells us have a heart after him mm-hmm. and not the ones who look good
right.
when they stand up there in a suit.
I need somebody who got a heart after God, not a heart after me. Because I ain't got to worry about how you going to treat me if you got his heart.
Because when you go to the one and listen to the one and pursue the one who got the look, then you get mad when you find out he's sleeping with everybody in the church.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Then you go with the one who got the slick word and can talk anybody in and out under a table, but realize that it's all empty calories because he's just a good orator.
That's it.
And if you a good orator, you can say whatever you want. And that's how y'all be getting duped with these 15% interest rates on these used cars because he talked a good deal.
You paying.
How much for a Ford Escort?
$150 a month for 8 years.
On a
used car.
On an 89 Camry? That car 40 years old, bro. That car older than me.
Right.
He should have gave that to you. Well, he said it had a new engine in it.
If you don't get... Okay.
And that's what we do, Shonda. We go off the look.
Mm-hmm.
We go off of the way they sound. But are they giving you substance? Are they chasing after God? Are they letting you know it's not about me, but about he, mm-hmm. the one who sent me? And a lot of us don't do that. And it's like we're just looking for somebody to reassure what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Reassure. But it's like, listen, I don't care if you know what I don't care about being right. Because if I'm right, if it's based off of me, then it'll never be right because I'm not right.
Right.
I was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. Mm-hmm. Did nobody have to teach me how to lie? I came into this joint knowing how to lie. Mm-hmm. Cause we done all seen our kids do something and you be like, where you get that from?
Hey, nigga, you know he got that from you. You still doing it. Yes.
But it's about getting it right.
Yes.
So that's why I watch these videos. That's why when I hear somebody say something, I don't eat it up and sop it up like a biscuit and gravy. Mm-hmm. I go back and study it and read it and meditate on it and try to, all right, well, what is this, the word? Because you're saying that, but what does it mean in Greek? What does it mean in Hebrew? What was God trying to say in this time? What was Jesus really trying to say at that time? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We don't do that. We just sound good to me.
Right. We don't look at the audience. We don't look at the pretext or the post-text or anything. We have no context. All we have is how we feel about what we're reading. And we make things right or wrong because of how we feel about it. And your feelings have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it. You feeling all warm and fuzzy with that burning and bubbling in your chest and stomach is actually no indication that you are feeling the presence of God. Just like feeling nothing at all is not an indication that God is not with you. It's not about your feelings. It's about what you know. And because we don't know nothing outside of how we feel, we are not experiencing God like we should be.
And a lot of us are not in tune with what God wants us to do. And what I mean by that is this, Sean. Whatever Paul wanted to do, God wasn't letting him do from the standpoint of whatever the thorn in his flesh was. The Bible doesn't say what it is. But what I'm saying is, whatever it was that he wanted God to take off of him, he ain't take it.
Right.
Because that was his governor. Because if he take that off Paul, maybe Paul is like, it becomes about Paul and not about Jesus, not about God. Because even Paul said, when I come to you and you say to me, well, who and whose name do we say we come in the name of Apollos, in the name of Paul? It ain't about me, Paul said. He said, some are called to water, some are called to plant, but God gives the increase.
Absolutely.
And a lot of us are walking around with a spirit of Satan. Satan is a title. Lucifer is, just so people know, right. Satan is a title. We're walking around with the spirit of Satan, where it's about the morning star who made it about him. They're worshiping me.
Right.
They're not worshiping God. It's because of me. If you didn't have me, you wouldn't have these people. And it's not about you.
At all. At all. And that's hard. It's hard for people to accept that because they've built their lives around themselves. And they let God in every now and again when what they think God is saying fits with what they've built.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this before we wrap. Because I've often wondered, is it more important, and this is just opinion, not probably the last 10 minutes we're going to get ourselves in trouble. I've always felt like education is more important in the body. When they taught in BC, let's just say BC time, and even some AD, it was about teaching what the word says, a greater understanding Bible stuff. But now it's about the message. What do you feel is more important, the teaching or the message?
Because if the message is incorrect, the teaching is an error. If you don't have the right message, all of your teaching is flawed. It's about knowing what's right. Write the vision. Make it plain upon the wall so that he that runneth can read it. What am I reading and running with if the message is incorrect? So until you have the correct message, that's my opinion.
Okay. That makes sense. I just feel as though, and I don't want to call names, but I just feel as though sometimes the Bible is used as a prop for a message. And it's not about the word. It's about the message. So it's like, I can give you one scripture and I can use that scripture out of context and have a whole message on it. And the reason it's going to be eaten up by the people is why? Because they don't know. It's the blind leading the blind again. So to me, if we begin to educate our people and that's why I was a huge Fred Price fan. Mm-hmm. Fred Price was about, he didn't get up there and hoop and holler. He was up there and taught. And taught like it was mainly him reading out the Bible, and he'd give a little commentary, and then he'll read, then give commentary, then he'll read, then give commentary, and he'll read. And I think we've lost that in a lot of our synagogues, mm-hmm. because it's about the pageantry, the show, the music, and it's not about the substance. Do you think, do you agree, disagree with that? It has become more about the pageantry, you know, more than the substance. So it's one of them things where it's like, ooh, you been to that new restaurant? Oh, man, they got, whew, and the prices is this and the prices is that. And oh, my goodness. And everybody talking about, but then you get there, Sean, and you get this, you done spent looking at the prices of the menu and you're like, Jesus. Then they bring out this little 4-ounce little piece of something with a one piece of something. And you was like, oh, so this is just about the show.
Right.
Because this ain't no substance that you'd have put on my plate.
Right.
For these prices.
Absolutely.
Where I ain't going to lie to you. So I go to these Chinese food joints for like $12.
You can eat for 2 days.
Right.
Or more.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
And be halfway to eat just a little bit and be full.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I guess I'll be calling upon you tomorrow because I can't finish you tonight.
Absolutely. I agree with that. there are people, 2 Timothy 4:3 can say it better than me. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Whatever it is you want to do, you can find somebody willing to tell you it's whatever it is you want to preach against. You will find somebody who will tell you that that thing is wrong and make it wrong. So however it is you want to seek to control people, you can find someone out here with the methodology for you to do so. The only thing about it is, at the end of the day, when the dust clears and when the smoke settles, you will have to answer for the wrong things that you have said. You will have to answer for the things that you have done and said to people in an effort to control them or to fleece them. Because you do know that it's really about the bottom line, right? You can bring in someone who's saying everything you want to hear, because then you will give all your money in support of it.
I like that. That makes sense.
Because we got to push our agenda, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to support it.
Well, we got some agendas we got to get off.
Absolutely. We see it in politics. You find the candidate that is speaking the loudest against the things that you hate the most, and you would give all of your money in support of that campaign because we're going to control this sect. You know, this sect of people who think like we do, who feel strongly like we do. We're going to pool all of our money together to push that forward. It happens in our churches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to end it right there. And with that, we know what that means. It means the block is hot. The block is hot. The block is hot. What you got for me today, Rabbi?
Well, you know what? I thought you were going to talk about the video that we saw. And I'm not going to say anything about it.
Okay.
Unless you do. My block is hot for a different reason. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to drop it right here, and then I'm going to leave it. Because I'm going to say this. Because I see it. If if your optic nerves are still working, you see it. And I think at some point we have to address it, or at least be willing to talk about it. And it's that you cannot be just so hyper and super spiritual and ignore all of your sexual urges and desires without something happening somewhere. If we don't start educating our children and some of our adults, if we don't start talking about the desire for sexual activity and the suppression of nature's courses, if we don't start talking about these things, we're going to end up with some horrible situations on our hands. We got it now. We're wondering why sex is so prominent in all kinds of forms, and it is just taking all kinds of shapes and getting so far out of control. It's because we don't talk about it. It is natural to desire sexual activity. It's natural. But we make it seem like it's such a horrible thing, and it ain't. It's not a horrible thing. But if we don't start talking about it and having real conversations about it, our children are going to be in trouble. The first time our children hear that they are loved shouldn't be from a stranger trying to coax them into a car. We got to start having real conversations with our kids, or a lot of us are going to be.
Hey, she said she was going to drop it right there, and she dropped it right there. Just real quick. So I saw a video this week. I'm pretty sure some of you might have saw it as well. A young African-American man in Alabama changing his tire was tased by a police officer for refusing to show his ID. She handcuffed him, threw him on the car. And while this man is handcuffed, not resisting, not fighting, not arguing, tases him again as the man begins to cry and begins to emasculate the man. Would you say emasculate?
Absolutely.
And I mean, just called him all out his name, called him a B word. You thought you was big and bad. Now say something. It was terrible. And then we later find out that they were going to try to charge him for drug trafficking and felony of firearm, even though he's not a felon and he didn't have any drugs on him. But they were didn't know they were being videotaped. So because they didn't know, they were probably going to try to lie and plant some drugs on this. And the reason I bring this up is because at the end of the day, in the West, we cannot ignore that these are the realities that happen here every day in the lives of black men and women that have to deal with a police state where the police have all this power and no repercussions because the officer is on paid leave. So then when people begin to understand that when I see my people getting treated like this, when I weep for my people, when I see this young man crying, knowing he did nothing, that's where my heart automatically is the heart that is, I don't want to see anybody across the world being treated unfairly for something that they didn't do. When I see a video that my brother sends to me of a man holding his dead daughter, blowing into her eyes, in a country that is in heavy conflict right now, y'all know what I'm talking about. When I see these innocent children, when I see the rubble on the face of a child crying, wanting to know where her mother is, I can't see my people suffering here and be okay with the suffering of people over there, no matter the language, no matter the belief. I don't know that young man from Adam. I don't know what his beliefs are. I don't know. He could be atheist, Shonda. He could be agnostic.
Right.
But how he was treated was unfair. Those people can be praying to Allah 20 times a day. That doesn't stop me from being compassionate. We have to, at some point, dig down and find our compassion. And it makes me really begin to wonder, who does have a heart of God? Like, who really does?
Right.
He said, and I'm going to end it with this, Sean. And I want y'all to hear this under the sound of my voice. Jesus said to Peter, they will know your minds by the way you what? By the way you love. Absolutely. So I just want y'all to think about that. And with that being said, that is this week's episode of The Block is Hot. The Block is Hot. The Block is Hot. Great show today, Rabbi.
Absolutely.
Great show, but it's always great. We have good discussions. Excellent discussions.
Excellent. Excellent.
You ready to shut it down?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Shut it down.
You know, it is not. This doesn't belong to me. Like I have no religion to give. I have no heaven to put anyone in. I have no hell to banish anyone to. You know, it doesn't belong to me. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and everybody in it. So I'm going to close with these two scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, and then I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. I know that's out of sequence, but I want to read it like that. 4 and 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God and not from us. This is why, verse 4 and 5, this is why we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We have this great treasure in earthen vessels. It is the Spirit of God. It is the power of God. It is the transformative expression of God that we bear in these earthen vessels, which means there's no honor in the vessel. All the honor is what's inside of it. So there's no need in me leading you to myself, because outside of him, I have nothing. I am simply a servant of Jesus Christ. I am simply a slave to the Holy Spirit of God. That's all I have to give you. That is it. So we shouldn't be leading anyone to ourselves, because we have nothing to offer other than him. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. So outside of him, what is that? Nothing.
Amen. Amen. Hey, man, she preached a sermon right there, and I get it for free. So I am going to read a scripture real quick. Just I'm going to James, which is Stephen's favorite book. Shout out. What up, Steph? We miss you. I'm going to go to James chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 4. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member. Yes, it boasts of, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire an entire course of life. One thing that I think we have not truly understood is how powerful our tongues are. Our words have consequences. The Bible tells us that a man will be judged out of every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. When we begin to know and understand that all life and creation was brought forth by words, we will begin to understand that words have rewards, but they also have consequences. Are we elevating or are we devaluating? It's not about us. So God doesn't care if you're right as long as you make him look right. And with that being said, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Road to Damascus, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. Till next time, thank you for listening. God bless. We're out.